starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Welcome to another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Castor-Casbon, and today we have an incredible guest, Mary Hadley. Mary is a speech-language pathologist with a private practice in Austin, Texas, who took the leap into private practice after facing a pivotal moment in her career. Now, she's offering a very innovative therapy model for kids and teens who need help with social communication. Mary is a former teacher who transitioned into the field of speech-language pathology. She worked in the schools for several years until the pandemic hit. And then, after a disappointing experience with her job, she joined the Start Your Private Practice program to learn how to get set up, started, and seeing private clients. Then, she transitioned into the Grow Your Private Practice program to learn how to grow her impact and her income. Mary's focus is on kids and teens who need help with social communication. And get this, she's offering therapy and even created her own curriculum, which she delivers to her clients during the day at their schools and also in their after-school programs. In this episode, Mary also discusses how being in private practice has helped her career fulfillment, flexibility for her family, and also her financial success as she's earning significantly more than when she was a school-based SLP. Y'all, Mary was considering leaving the profession altogether, but starting a private practice helped her turn everything around. If you have found yourself at a crossroads in your career and are looking for more fulfillment, more flexibility, and increased finances, and/or if you're curious about her innovative approach to helping kids with social communication issues, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. So before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Sure. My name is Mary Hadley. My practice is Signpost Speech and Language Therapy, and I'm in Austin, Texas.
So I am so excited to do this interview with you today, and I can't wait to hear about like how your practice is like now and have you share that with all of our listeners. But before we get to that, can you please share a little bit about how you got started in the field and when did you start thinking about private practice?
So it was interesting. In high school, we had to do one of those, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, like, and guide you towards what that would be. And my results said paralegal or speech language pathologist. So I kind of forgot about that. I went to college. I think I started in business and quickly transitioned to education. And there was no communication disorders at my college. I happened to have a professor who did language development with us who was a speech language pathologist. I really like this class. So by the end of college, I started my student teaching and was like, oh, no, I cannot be with this many children at one time. I am not good at this. This is not for me. I was very drawn to the schools. So without telling my parents, I dropped that major second semester of senior year and just kind of started prepping for some classes that might be prereqs for a degree in speech. I got a job as a speech aide that next year after college in Washington, D.C., working in a school for kids with language learning disabilities, and got to kind of do the job with the guidance of like 10 really amazing speech pathologists. I loved it. And so went to grad school in New York.
Grad school is funny.
It was hard.
For some people, it's great. And for some people, it's not great. I was lucky. For me, grad school was great. But I have heard so many people who unfortunately have either like meh or horror stories. But no matter what, you persisted, right? You figured out, hey, this is a profession that I really like.
Yes.
Even though maybe this experience wasn't awesome, I like the field enough to persist.
Absolutely. Yes. And always I had schools in mind. I'm going to be in the school. So stayed in New York for a few years after that, worked in schools there, and then moved down to Austin, I guess in like 2010, and entered the public school system then, and was there until 2020.
When something happened.
Something happened. I did my job remotely for a year. And I kind of loved it, actually, because I got to interact with families and parents more. And then on that first day, driving back to school, when we went back in person after the pandemic, I had never had an office. I had been in elementary schools and I was in the middle school, and for 5 years, didn't have an office, and spent so much time advocating for myself. This is like, I can't work with children in the hallway. It is against HIPAA regulations. And so finally, I was supposed to have an office. And as I was driving to work, I got a call that's, I'm just kidding, you don't have an office again. So I pulled over to Target parking lot. I first called my husband. I think this is it. I can't go back. And he's like, okay, we can do this. And then I called my lead SLP and I quit.
Wow. That was a big time, right? For everyone who was remote, which was most of us, right? Then when employers started calling people back, I think that was a major turning point for people. But people are like, no, like I've been able to do my job remotely. Yep. And especially like, if you think back to that time, if you thought you were going to have an office, right? An office would have been a safe space.
Yeah.
Right. So then you're like, just kidding. You don't have that safe space. I can 100% see why you would pull over and say, this isn't going to work.
I should always thought I never want to do that. That sounds like way too much work. That's not going to be for me. So I started like kind of looking on Indeed and thinking about where I wanted to go and what felt like a good fit. And I knew a woman I worked with in the school district had left several years ago and started her own practice, really focusing on accent reduction, which is not something I'm interested in at all, but it grew into this big. She had multiple locations and our children had gone to the same school. So I'd run into her and she was just like, oh yeah, anyone can do it. No, like, have you heard of Jenna? Like, I know she does something, but anyone can really figure out how to do it. And I was like, oh, I don't think I can figure out how to do it. So I think I Googled you and started with the free how to start. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And when I joined Start, it just started rolling from there. And to back up a little bit, what had happened over the previous years leading up to why I thought I could do this was that I always loved social communication. I loved my groups within the schools where I would get a little group and we got to talk about our social worlds and how to figure it out and unpack it and what feels right for them. And every ARD meeting, parents were like, where can I get more of this? Like, I wish there was more of this. And so on my walks in the morning with like the dog, I would just be fantasizing like about what that could look like. And so that was my little nugget of an idea. And it sparked joy in me when I thought about it. And so this little nugget started to grow a little bit more as I found you in the start. And so it's still growing. It's not fully grown yet. But I started this Start Your Own Private Practice sequence with that in mind.
Well, I love that, right? Because if we go back to the beginning of your story, like you loved working in the schools. You found out you didn't love the classroom setting and like being a teacher, right? But you still loved the environment of the schools until it wasn't the right fit anymore, right? And like maybe had the pandemic hadn't happened, like who knows, maybe, right? Maybe you'd still be in the schools and, you know, be happy and still wish you had an office, but, you know.
Right.
I love that you talked about like sparking joy and like what sparked joy for you. And I know that there's so many parents out there who are looking for these more specialized services for their kids that just either don't exist or they certainly don't exist in the amount of that corresponds to the need, right? So whether it's social communication, whether it's feeding, whether it's you know, AAC groups or whatever, like parents are looking for this because they know how great they are or could be for their children, but there's not enough providers
at all. For me, it feels really exciting. So I'm like, well, where can this go? Like there's maybe like three places in Austin offering social communication groups run by speech pathologists. So I feel like, okay, there is a need here.
Yeah. And Austin's a big city, right? And so to only have three is not a lot for a major metropolitan area. And if it's something that you love doing, then, you know, if there's anything in life, listeners, that you love doing, like you should do more of it. And especially if you can help people and get paid for it.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Definitely do it.
And this is something I still kind of struggle with, but like it feels good to make money. And I was always pissed in the school system. Like I work so hard. And isn't it great that my husband, who has a really cool career in tech, like gets paid a lot and gets a bonus or, you know, gets a promotion? That's great. But I want that too for myself. And so I'm just beginning my third year. And from month to month, I make 4 to 5 times what I did in the school district each month, working part time. It's like, wow, like this feels amazing.
Listeners, can you just say that one more time to make sure everyone heard that?
I make each month 4 to 5 times what I did working in the public school system part time.
That is why more people need to be in private practice, right? Yeah. Because that is a big part of my mission, right? Is helping people be able to make more and work less and to work with the people that you love working with, that light you up, that allow you to do your best work. Yes. How would you say that your fulfillment is in your career right now?
I feel at 100%, I would say I'm at 85 to 90.
And it's
huge. And the other part that's missing is all of the imposter feeling syndromes and the I shouldn't be charging this much for my services feelings.
Nope.
That I just am working on, you know, in my own stuff to be like, no, I have a lot of years of experience. I have done a lot of extra work to specialize in these areas. I work really hard. And so this is what the fee is.
Yeah. And to go back to your husband for a second and working in tech and like, you know, any kind of job like that where there are bonuses, a lot of times bonuses, moving up a salary ladder, all that is based on performance.
Yeah.
Right. In our professions, performance honestly doesn't matter. Like we're not compensated more for performance. And arguably, we're compensated less because when people find out how good we are at our jobs, they give us more work to do. Right. So it actually goes in the inverse, which is part of the problem why we are working so hard and why we're not compensated fairly. So what I would argue for you is that part of your fee and what you're doing, you're actually getting the bonuses that the husband is getting, but you're just getting it as part of your sessions.
Right. I'd absolutely see it that way too.
To go back to you brought up imposter syndrome, which I know is something that a lot of our audience struggles with. Even I struggle with it from time to time. Whenever it happens, whenever it crops up again, I always have to remind myself, if I don't put myself out there, I'm not going to be helping people. And we are helpers, right? Listeners, everyone who's listening to this, I know that you consider yourself a helping person. And so if you listen to that imposter syndrome, and if you let it be so loud in your head and your brain that you slow down and you hold back and you don't help people, well, then you're not serving the populations. Like, what if you hadn't started these social groups? What if you hadn't worked with these kids who weren't getting enough services? You wouldn't be helping them.
it makes all the difference. So two parts of that. When I hear back from a parent, so, you know, and I'll send out surveys. What did you think of this group? How did it go? And, you know, maybe 10% of people respond. But even that one parent that is like, this made such a huge difference in our lives carries me going forward.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So probably some people listening are like, okay, wow, this woman's impressive. What does your private practice like look like?
I have no brick and mortar. Looks like some individual sessions. My focus is on using the executive functioning system to support social communication. People find me that way. And so a lot of times during the school day, I have children. And so I don't want to be working a lot after school hours. I have gotten in with some private schools in town. And so I get to go there and see students during the school day, which is awesome. So I probably do that 2 days a week. And then the social communication groups are, you know, the bread and butter of what I do. And so I have also taken those to several private schools in town and offered them as part of their after school programs. And then that's what I'm trying to branch out and do more of. So I'm still done by, you know, 5 most days. I work not at all on Fridays. And then I'm home, able to pick up my children from their aftercare and get home and have the evening together.
I love that. What a beautiful life that you've basically created for yourself. Could you have imagined when you pulled off the road and into Target, called your husband, called the supervisor, said, I'm done, that 3 years later, that this is what life would look like for you?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought, yeah, it has just grown. And then it's continuing to grow. I just hired on my first person. Yeah, it was a grad student I supervised during the pandemic. And she's amazing and wonderful and just had a baby and wants to work a little bit. And so super cool to be like, yeah, let's make this work for how you want it to work for you.
And if she was with you before, first of all, that's great. Listeners, if you have anyone that you've worked with as a grad student, as an SLPA, as a friend of a friend, whatever, that can be an awesome way to find that first hire. But there's only so much that you can do yourself, especially if you have a growing interest in your practice and growing wait list, but you don't want to work more, right? You have a part-time schedule. I'm assuming you'd like to keep it that way. And so the way to duplicate yourself is to hire. And I'm also assuming that this person believes in your mission and also really cares about this type of therapy and these individuals. And so you're also attracting people that share your values as a clinician. And like, how great is that?
Yeah, we've got to talk about social communication groups before it ever happened. What would it look like? And she's run some. So now she feels good stepping into that role and we can start offering it at even more schools. Talk about saving money. Yeah, just not having that brick and mortar, taking out the aspect of parents having to drive around to different therapies after school has really been a selling point.
Oh, it's huge, right? I mean, I also have kids. And so driving around, like my youngest got speech for some articulation and we did teletherapy and it was fantastic. If there, and my kids also go to an after school program, which they love. If there was an option for him to get speech after school at the great. So not only a huge time saver for the parents, but to be able to use like the natural environment. Like I'm a big fan. Brick and mortars can be fantastic, right? And for a lot of people, that might be their eventual goal, right? I teach people to start without a brick and mortar because it is a large overhead cost at first. And at some point, it does often make sense for people, depending on what kind of therapy they're offering. If they're driving all over the place, you know, X, Y, and Z. For other folks, it actually doesn't make sense to have a brick and mortar. And it sounds like for you and the type of groups that you're offering and the opportunities that you've had at various schools that maybe you'll never have a brick and mortar.
Another place that I've contracted with that's been a really cool referral source and I'm able to share the social communication groups there is a therapy group, like a talk therapy, play therapy for kids. And she kind of, the owner of that found out about what I was doing and was like, do you think you could offer that here too? And so it's cool to figure out the different places I can sit in the community.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, that opens up all kinds of extra avenues. So talk therapy, meaning like she's a therapist of some sort, like a mental health?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a social worker. And they have a huge practice in town. So been cool. Yeah.
That's super cool. Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode. What's coming next for you? I know that you're hiring this one person. If you could project another, not too far, six months to a year, what might things look like next year?
I guess let me start answering that by saying I'm participating in the GROW program, and that has been very helpful because it's helping me take my time and not feeling that I have to rush and do all of these things at one time. So like I have very, what I think are kind of small steps. So like maybe I'd like to hire somebody to take care of my taxes and billing or maybe not billing. I use some practice and I love it. But so maybe starting with just the taxes and figuring out then like payroll. And then I would love to be by this time next year in maybe like 3 or 4 new schools offering after school groups.
I love all of that. The thing that you mentioned about having someone helping with accounting and whatnot, maybe an accountant, a bookkeeper, et cetera, is you want to take things off of your plate that either you're not good at or you're not interested or they're going to bog you down.
Yeah.
You up at night.
I don't want to spend brain space figuring it out.
And listeners, there are people who love that, right? I'm not one of those people. I have an accountant. I have a bookkeeper. I hired my accountant in my second year of private practice. My first year of private practice, I did everything myself, which was probably a disaster. I did TurboTax, you know, whatever. I'm pretty sure I did it right. But every now and then, it was 2008. It was a long time ago. But, you know, I think we're beyond. But still, like that kept me up at night. That gave me anxiety. Right. So if there's anything in your private practice that is keeping you up, making you anxious or whatever, the thing specifically about accountants is, I mean, I say that they are worth their weight in gold. You know, you pay them a fee. They often help you save exponentially more money than whatever that fee is. Right. And then they can also help you get organized for the next year. Right. Like whether they get you set up on QuickBooks or they at least just give you some sort of like idea of, you know, maybe some different expenses that you didn't know that you could deduct, right? So that's one major thing for anyone who's listening who's like, I don't know, maybe I can do this myself. Like, don't. Like, my very first accountant was $250 for that tax season. You know, my person now is like $600. Like, they range.
That's affordable.
It's affordable. And it's not going to keep you up at night. And you're going to have way more the deductions that will, you know, pay for it, right? Okay. That's, you know, off that soapbox for 1 second. I also love that you've tapped into a certain time, right? The after school programs.
Yep.
And so the reason why that's cool is because there's after school programs all over the place.
Yeah.
Right. But also there's a lot of other SLPs out there who are looking for after school hours, right? The people who don't have kids yet or who have a more flexible schedule or whatever, who are looking to supplement their income. You are at some point probably not looking for after school hours so much anymore, but you're
absolutely
to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel so attractive because that's a big chunk of money for a short amount of time. It's a lot of work, but I feel like it's very worth it.
And you could standardize it.
Yeah, I have kind of put together a 16-week program. And yeah, it feels very easy to kind of hand off to someone. Here, I've put this together. Feel free to make it your own.
I love that. And that would be good for anyone who's actually like delivering, like, you know, the former grad student turned employee contractor, whatever. I think that's fantastic. And then I could go a step further and say, like, this is something that you could license. You could
maybe
sell to other people, right?
Maybe.
So I think that could be a really cool opportunity too. That could be a way for you to exponentially grow your impact, people you're able to help, and frankly, also your income, because people could purchase it.
Yeah. Diversifying. That's something else I've been thinking about. How do I diversify my income?
That's one way.
Well, exciting. That makes me all feel excited.
Sparking joy for you, which is so fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we start to kind of wrap up, what are some words of wisdom that you may give to someone who's like, wow, this is really cool. I love how she was working the school, was happy, then not happy, didn't even know that this whole private practice thing was kind of an option for her, but now she's making more money, working less, and loving her life, right? So what would you say to someone who's like, that sounds cool, but I have kids, but I have a mortgage, but I have student loans, whatever.
What I did, and so what I would recommend doing, especially if you're listening to this podcast or following Facebook groups, is reach out to somebody who has been on the podcast who has a growing business. That's what I did to kind of get started. I was like, I needed some income and I didn't really know where to get started. And I listened to one of your podcasts and heard a woman in Ohio who had started a virtual practice and was like looking to hire. And she was out of the town where my college was in Dayton, Ohio. So I was like, oh, well, that's kind of a connection. And I just cold emailed her and she hired me to work with students in Texas because people were reaching out to her and she knew I was part of the START program. And so we also had that understanding where she wanted to help me grow and know that I probably wasn't going to be there forever. And it worked out. I worked for her for about a year and got to the point where I was able to say, okay, I think I now have enough clients that I'm able to let this one go. So I would also be super happy to help somebody who's wanting to get started and just get that little bit of income going.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing, you know, what you're up to and what you've been able to accomplish in a relatively short amount of time, right? Like this is my entire mission, which hopefully people know, but it's to really save SLPs and OTs who are burned out, who are working in bad situations that maybe were serving them, but are no longer serving them. They want more time with their family, want more income for their family, want to help their clients more than they're able to do. So gosh, you're just a prime example of someone who understood the assignment.
Ran with it. Yeah.
And has flourished. I'm so proud of what you've done.
Oh, thank you. Me too. It can be scary, the ebbs and flows, but it feels really good.
Mary, tell our listeners where to find you, either, you know, website, social, wherever.
Signpost, speechandlanguagetherapy.com. I don't like social media and I've been fighting doing it. So I don't really have anything out there on social media yet. Maybe I never have to, or maybe one day I will, but I haven't made it a priority yet.
Well, it sounds like you're doing just fine without it.
I think so too.
Okay. Not to give you more advice or tips or anything, but like maybe that's something that this other person likes, wants to do, or maybe not
awesome.
Her, but maybe somebody else, right?
Yes. So she is a lot younger than me. So
So also listeners, you don't have to do everything. If there's something that you don't like doing, we talked about the accountant earlier, but social media just doesn't come naturally to everybody, right? Or certain platforms don't come naturally. If your practice is growing and demand for your services is growing without social media, then maybe you don't need it. I do think that everyone needs a website. I feel very strongly.
Yes.
Everyone needs a website.
I do have that. Yes.
But you do not need to have a social media presence. I do think you should reserve your handles for one day, but you don't have to post stuff if that's going to slow you down.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right? I want to keep you in your zone of genius and let other people who may also love social communication, but also love Instagram, like they would probably love to help you with that part of the business.
Awesome. Please reach out to me.
Yes. Okay. So everyone reach out to Mary.
Yes.
But for real, thank you so much for being on the podcast, for sharing your story, for being part of our programs, and just for trusting yourself, for trusting me, and then for getting out there and doing it.
Well, thank you for, like, I wouldn't have done this without you. You gave me all the steps and I followed them and it worked.
And it worked. It's not rocket science or magic. It's literally, if you can follow a recipe.
Yeah.
If it's not a hard recipe, my gosh, I can't cook anything hard. I cook things like chili and stuff.
Yeah. 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 But coming from another SLP, there's something about it that feels so safe and supportive too. And so that was meaningful.
Aw, it's like comfort food.
Absolutely. Yes. It's macaroni and cheese.
Yes. I love that. Awesome. All right. Well, again, thank you, Mary, for being on. Listeners, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, please reach out to Mary. But otherwise, let this episode inspire you to take action and to do what you are called to do in this profession. And, you know, don't lose sight of what your needs are. If you stay in this profession and you're in a situation that's a lot of burnout, you're not going to be able to continue helping people. So please make a change if you need to make a change. Save yourself in this career, save your family, and let's help you earn more money in less time through your own private practice. Okay, don't you just love Mary, and isn't her journey incredible? Her determination to find balance, stay true to herself, and build a thriving private practice is truly inspiring. She's a shining example of someone who decided to take control of her destiny and has accomplished something truly amazing. Her innovative approach to working with kids with social communication deficits in schools and in after-school programs is so, so cool. If you're feeling inspired by Mary's story and would like to work with us to help you across the private practice journey, please visit independentclinician.com to learn more about our programs. As always, thank you for listening and tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.